Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrudino here with our final Reality Game Masters exit interviews. And sorry about the delays. Reality Game Masters ended about a week ago, and we are just getting to our exit interviews with Steven and Sophie. Steven was out of the country. He was on vacation to China. I also had some family in town. We had Big Brother kicking off and Big Brother Bingo and all of these things. So finally, this weekend, we're able to catch up a little bit and get Steven and Sophie on the line for our Reality Game Masters exit interviews. We'll be talking to them separately. First up, we're going to hear from the runner-up from Reality Game Masters, Steven Fishback. Then, after we talk to Steven, we'll be joined by the one and only Sophie G. Clark, the second runner-up for Reality Game Masters. And so let's go ahead and get right into it. The producers of Reality Game Masters have been so kind to afford us exit interviews with the cast members as they are eliminated. And here he is, fresh back from China. I can see he's on the line. Steven Fishback, are you there?
Rob, how are you?
Steven, I'm doing fantastic, but very sad to talk to you on this exit interview. I didn't expect to be talking to you, even though we filmed this several months ago and the show finished airing last week.
It's like, it's like when Jeff Probst blogs about Survivor, you know, he's like, oh my God, looks like so-and-so is playing a great game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this exit interview is like, Anyway, go ahead.
But we were remiss to not hear from you and get your take on Reality Game Masters, because you were such a big part of it. You were such a crucial figure, and people in the comments on all of these different websites and on YouTube, everybody was saying that this show is horrible because it's so obvious that Steven Fishback is going to win.
It really mimicked my Survivor season, where I remember reading the comments during my Survivor season too, and it's like, oh my God, what an obvious winner Steven is. Like, you know, Steven's got this in the bag. And then, of course, I was, you know, delighted at the time, just as I was delighted during Reality Game Masters, that I got to surprise the fans. That's what it's all about, Rob. It's not about winning. It's about surprising. And so, in that way, I'm the real winner.
Yes. It was such a shocking ending for Cochran to come out victorious against you. So, Steven, what the hell happened?
I'm able to choke in any situation, Rob. You know, there's no game that I'm not able to self-sabotage. You know what? I think that, you know, risk is, there's a lot of luck in risk. You know, I think Cochran or Sophie easily could have won as well. I don't think any of the Big Brother contestants sort of have the mental capacity to have won, to have beat us. But I certainly think either Cochran or Sophie could have beat me. You know, a lot of it comes down to cards. A lot of it comes down to dice rolls. You know, I thought actually, you know, right at the end there, when Sophie was going to eliminate Matt Hoffman, you know, if the dice had gone a little bit more in her favor, she could have gotten his cards, then kind of, you know, steamrolled Cochran, got his cards, and then taken me out. So I thought there was a really good chance Sophie could win. You know, then Cochran, you know, I thought he was going to win on his next turn. And so it just came out, you know, it just, the odds were not in my favor. Could I have done something different? Hard to say. You know, I think a lot of the game for me and for the other survivors was just making sure that the Big Brother guys did not beat us. And it turned out to be much easier than expected.
Now, see, you've twisted the knife a little bit a couple times in this conversation. Yeah. Now, why so much animosity between the Team Survivor and Team Big Brother? I mean, is there some previous event that I didn't know about, or were you just very turned off that day?
I think they're just troglodytes. You know, I think they're just not very smart, and we didn't want to lose to them. Now, I don't mean individually. You know, they're wonderful people. I really like Matt. You know, I really like Ian. There's Eric Stein's out there as well. I also really like Eric Stein. You know, they're all great people. But I think as a whole, you can really see how dumb Big Brother contestants are. And I think that was reflected in their strategy. And I have the word strategy in like gigantic air quotes and like, a real wink and nudge in the ribs, because it was a laughable strategy.
So I'm not a master risk player or anything, but it seemed like there was some logic to it of trading the cards back, off back and forth. Is that just a terrible strategy?
I don't know Risk either that super well, but just superficially, it seemed like, you know, they were trading cards with each other and inhibiting each other from getting continents. And, you know, like maybe turtling, maybe there, you can make an argument that that strategy, which is called turtling and sort of just like building up your own huge force, makes sense if the other players are doing it. But what Cochran and Sophie and I were all doing was kind of trying to expand our own continents. So we were expanding, you know, at the expense of the Big Brother players, and they were just sort of sitting still. So they were kind of inherently screwing themselves over. And then the other part of that is, you know, from my perspective, and again, I'm not like a huge Risk expert, you know, by putting yourself in the hand, like by waiting for the cards to start coming out, you're putting yourself in the hands very much of chance. You know, the more armies there are at play, the more that luck is going to factor into things. You know, if you, one guy gets 20 armies and then the next guy gets 25 and the next guy gets 30, you know, you saw in the end game how much it just comes down to dice rolls. Whereas, you know, that's so for Eric Stein, for his whole, you know, strategy to be, we're going to wait until the cards come out and then the game begins. Like, why wait that long? Why wait till you're sort of upping the risk of chance? You know, why not just... Although, actually, that might be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong that having more armies ups chance. But either way, why wait? You know, why wait until the cards come out before you start actually making moves? And I think Cochran, Sophie, and I all were, like, you know, being very aggressive. And they, like, sort of couldn't – they never responded to that. That was the incredible thing, is that they never changed their strategies. And I think that just goes to show you how dumb Big Brother players are.
Well, I think it's interesting, and I hadn't thought about this before this conversation, but I think that you could sort of take the blueprint for what the Survivor players did and what the Big Brother players did and sort of match it up to your respective shows. Because Survivor players, I mean, the BR rules is basically, you know, make your alliance, stick to your alliance, and basically take out the other team. And win the challenges and basically stick together pre-merge and be sort of a dominant tribe going into the merge. And that's kind of what you guys did. You guys were very aggressive and imperialist, I believe was the word you used, in Reality Game Masters. And were very much, hey, we got to take out the competition. Whereas the Big Brother players, much like you would in a season of Big Brother, it's a marathon. And you don't want to be HOH the first week. And you don't want to sort of make enemies early on. And you sort of just want to hang around till day 50, day 60, and then start winning challenges and then turn it into the, you know, the highest gear for like the last third of the game. And it's kind of like what the Big Brother players were trying to do, I feel like.
It makes a lot of sense, you know, and I think in this Reality Game Masters, therefore, we could see, you know, which is a more, you know, which is a hardier strategic set, right? The people who play by the Survivor strategy or the people who play by the Big Brother strategy, they just got their clocks cleaned. But, you know, and also too, right? I mean, the little I know about Big Brother, it seems that you need to, it's more individual in a certain way, right? You need to sort of like, you know, Ian excelled in his season, the one season I watched, because he was able to kind of pivot between alliances. And that can really hurt you in Survivor trying to play such a, I mean, you obviously did it well yourself, but it seems like with Survivor, you really, it is more like core loyalty versus Big Brother. You've got to sort of be able to operate individually. And, you know, each of the Big Brothers, to their shame, did not, I think, they weren't really working in concert together as much as they ought to have been.
I think that making an alliance is more important on Survivor. I think on Big Brother, it's more important to have a great social game and be sort of just have like great one-on-one relationships with everybody. Whereas in Survivor, it's more important to just have a cohesive three or four people. Like on Survivor, you could sort of be part of a cohesive group of three or four people, basically say F you to everybody else and go on to, you know, win the game. I mean, it doesn't help you with the jury votes, but they got to vote for somebody. And basically, if you and your group of everybody is basically like F you to everybody and you can get to the end, you can win Survivor. Whereas on Big Brother, you need to have, you know, really great interpersonal relationships with all the players in the game. And I think it's more of an individual game than Survivor is.
Well, none of the Big Brother players had a good interpersonal relationships with anybody. I mean, well, you know, Matt Hoffman did, obviously. Matt's so likable. And he was, like, I think, good with the Big Brother guys, and he and I had our thing. But Eric really, you know, in terms of building social relationships, I think Eric's strategy was to come out and antagonize everybody.
Well, is that what happened? Or was there any sort of, like, was there some bad blood between you and Sophie and Eric Stein from before this?
I actually really like Eric, and I find him to be hilarious. But I just also wanted to almost arbitrarily, well, honestly, like I was worried that he was going to be the most prepared and the savviest one of them. You know, I'd heard that he played Risk a lot when he was younger. You know, I think we certainly saw, you know, watching the series, that he really had like a very set strategy and had like a lot of ideas about how it should play out. So, you know, it was sort of arbitrary to like pick one of the Big Brother guys and kind of really obsessively focus on him. And I think having any one single target is always a good idea because it just like really focuses attention, you know, rather than kind of make diffuse attacks everywhere. And the fact that Ian went out first, I was sort of unhappy about. It would have been good for Eric to be out first. But, you know, that was just circumstance. There was no way we could avoid that.
But you were targeting Eric from the get-go. I mean, any particular reason why Eric?
No, I mean, it was just that I thought he probably was the best of them, honestly. I really thought that he was going to be the best, and I wanted it to get him out of there. You know, I thought if anyone was going to scuttle our plans, it would be him.
So for you, was there just like a lot of show pride in, hey, we're the survivors, we need to represent against the Big Brother. We can't suffer a loss to the Big Brother people?
There was show pride. I mean, some of it was personal pride, too. You know, I figured I could rely on the survivor guys not to go against me. And so to that extent, you know, I was like, well, I'll do better if the survivors stand tight than if it's sort of every man for himself. Like, I'm more guaranteed of not being the first out or the second out. And, you know, I also knew that both Sophie and Cochran wanted the final two deal with me. Now, it ended up ultimately being sort of meaningless because, you know, it really did come down to just position and circumstance. But, you know, being the bridge between those two was good.
Now, would you say that the turning point in the game for when Cochran got the advantage was allowing him to take out Sophie and taking all of her risk cards?
I mean, for sure, that's when he sort of got a huge influx of troops. I don't think there was any way I could really avoid that just based on turn order. You know, it's hard to like where I went wrong. You know, it's hard to really say if it was. You know, I saw on your message boards, actually, one person was saying that where I went wrong was after Cochran had made his first attack. If in my counterattack I had been more strategic in taking his, you know, in which continents of his I took to deny him further reinforcements. But honestly, like, I mean, as you know, Survivor is a game of endurance as much as it is of strategic skill. And I think, you know, in terms of my reality game master's career, I think by the end of the game, I was exhausted and not able to always make the best strategic decisions at the margin.
Really underreported how hostile the conditions were for reality game masters. That, I mean, the place that Alex Forstenhasler found a great spot, but it was just the ventilation was not particularly great in that room. And we had so many hot lights. And we had the door closed for noise. And it just was, you know, I can't imagine how Billy Garcia didn't just keel over in that Napoleon costume. But you guys were real. The people that were in the game for a long time. I mean, the game lasted like a good like 9-10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So by hour 9, you know, you've gone through, you know, I've probably personally had sweated and replenished, you know, my entire body's moisture a couple of times, not to be too graphic. So by that time, I certainly, you know, it was a little bit exhausted and probably could have made a few decisions that were slightly better, but was ultimately, I was very happy to, you know, final two. And in some ways I bring it on myself, I think, the willingness to accept second place.
Let's talk about your secret alliance with Matt Hoffman. Could you tell us who approached who? How did that come to be? Did you guys talk exactly what it would entail?
Yeah, I think I approached him. I think I emailed him and was like, you know, I had the sense that Ian was interested in Cochran. You know, I think that he had tweeted something to flattering to Cochran, and I was like, well, you know, crap. Eric hadn't reached out to anyone as far as I knew, and that sort of made me like very wary that maybe he had reached out to people and I didn't know about it. You know, it turned out he hadn't, which, you know, I guess to his credit as a, you know, someone who wants to play the game without alliances. I reached out to Matt thinking, you know, he and I were an incredibly unlikely alliance. None of the other players would have thought that we would be together. And I thought that was kind of appealing and it could be really funny, right? For us to sort of just like screw over our respective friend sets and end up together. And part of it was kind of for me just, you know, like Kim Spradlin did in a Survivor One World, you create as many alliances as you possibly can just to give yourself the options when you get to certain situations to be able to choose which direction to go. It's less about this person is my number one ally or this person is my number one ally. It's more about, you know, what are my – I want as many open paths, like, because you can never really control the different circumstances in the game.
What would have had to have happened for you to go with Matt Hoffman instead of the Survivors?
I mean, I really think it would have just had to have been a more, you know, if there had been an, I was, you know, I honestly was conflicted about it because it certainly would have been funny to take out the Survivors, you know, at least for me, but maybe less funny for them. And I, if the circumstance had presented itself, I would have really considered it. As it was, you know, Matt was on the ropes by the time that it was even relevant. So there was really nothing I could do and no way that I could really like substantively help him. You know, if I had been in Sophie's position, you know, she was going right after Matt and it was her turn to decide whether or not to take him out. You know, maybe I would have thought this could be interesting to just like mix it up. But, you know, by the time that it was even my turn, you know, Matt was well out of the game.
Were you surprised that Matt went and tried to make a deal with Sophie at the point that he did? I mean, geographically, I felt like it made sense, but I felt like either he could have like basically blown up the deal that you guys had. And again, I don't know how that would have changed anything, but it seems like he didn't try to leverage that at all.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised by that, too. I was surprised that he didn't tell Sophie, you know, I've got this deal with Fishback. You know, you got to go against him now. If you waste your troops on me, you're in trouble. It made sense for him to turn to her for sure. Given that she was the one who was, and she did take him out, right? She actually did take him out. Yeah, she was poised to take him out. You know, it also just made too much sense for her to take him out. Like he clearly recognized that. I mean, given that he had cards left, there was just every reason for her to go against him.
Yeah. All right. You ready for some questions from the Reality Game Masters fans?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. Max Zambrano wants to know, has Steven always come in second in everything he's done? And will he be like Eric and always come in the same place forever? Like, apparently Eric Stein also came in fifth on Big Brother.
Wow.
Yes.
I hope. I mean, second's a very, you know, second's a great spot, to be honest. You know,
what else have you come in second in?
Oh, well, Survivor, I came in second.
Yes, besides Survivor and Reality Game Masters. Is there anything else?
No, I mean, no, I guess not. I mean, I actually typically win games. I mean, I know that sounds like really cocky, but I think that's because I invest so much energy into them and like try, like spend more time thinking about them than maybe my opponents do. You know, if you're sitting down to a casual board game with me, like you're in for a surprise. Like I am planning on winning. You know, I'm ready to like cut your throat if I have to. You know, it was humbling to come in second, but you know, something like this, it's coming in second is great. You know, same with Survivor. You know, you leave Survivor, you go out to Survivor, you're like, please just like, don't let me be first off. And then you come home and you're like, holy crap, I made it to the end. Like, isn't that awesome? And then, you know, obviously when you come home, people are like, well, did you win or not? And you're like, well, no, but I did very well. So I'm very happy with second place.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Very noble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keith Black wants to know, would you have worked harder in retrospect to keep Matt Hoffman around and viable?
You know, Matt's strategy still like really flummoxed me the whole game. You know, he had built up this huge force in South America, but he never really tried to secure the whole continent, which would have obviously been to his benefit, right? If he had just kind of kicked Stein out from the very beginning and taken all of South America, which he never really made an effort to do. And like, I'm still not sure why he didn't go for that, you know? Like, he and Stein just sort of, like, did that thing where they traded forces when it would have been to their both of their enormous benefits if they had each gone after a continent. And he, too, also, he could have helped Stein in North America. So, anyway. And then he had many opportunities to go after Cochran. Like, when Cochran was weak and Matt had this, like, giant force, you know, it really seemed like it was in Matt's best interest to kind of sweep Cochran out, and he had I really think he had the chance, and he didn't take it, which was kind of shocking, unless I'm misremembering, which is also possible. So I'm either shocked or confused. I mean, were there any opportunities for me to like help him out more? I mean, I don't know. He never really was like a really strong player, and I did try to direct attention towards Ian. I directed attention to Eric Stein. You know, certainly when Sophie was choosing who to go after, Eric or Matt, I directed attention to Eric. And so I think I kind of did help him to a certain degree.
Steven Fishback wants to know, what would you have done differently to win, and how are you so devilishly handsome?
Yeah. Well, thanks for your question, Steven. And as always, you're very insightful, and you have really smart analysis. The handsome thing is just, I think it's just genetics, you know? It's just like one of those things where I wake up in the morning and I'm surprised by myself by how beautiful I look. You know, I don't even do anything about it. What would I have done differently to win? I think we talked about some of like the marginal decisions I could have made with the Cochran thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, was there anything else from Reality Game Masters that we didn't get to cover?
This was good. This was very
cathartic.
Yeah, it was really cathartic. You know, one thing I don't think, I mean, I think you represented to a certain degree what a thorn in our side Stein had been. But like, I don't think you really captured just like what an antagonist he was. Now he like never let up on the, like with any of us, just like constant with his like constant attempts to win Cochran and or tell us that we were all wrong and how dumb we are. And he would tell these jokes and the entire audience would burst into laughter. And we couldn't believe it. We were like, what is going on here? Like, how are these people laughing at these jokes? I mean, they were fine. They were somewhat funny, but we were also anti Stein at that point that we were just like frustrated and I would try to counter with some like, you know, lame witticism and it would completely fall flat. That's it. Stein was really a villain, you know, throughout.
Would you rather spend an afternoon with a bunch of people from Big Brother or a bunch of people from Harvard?
I definitely think Big Brother, because they're all such loons, right? They're all such like weirdos and like degenerates, you know. It's just like interesting to watch.
As opposed to spending the afternoon with people from Harvard?
Yeah, they're also buttoned up and, you know, pompous and stupid.
All right. And Steven, you just came back from China. I saw on Twitter somebody had said that this was a telltale sign you were not going to win Reality Game Masters, that you retreated off to China a la Francesca before the premiere of Survivor Karamoan.
Yeah, I needed to be somewhere where I would be totally, the media blockout from the censors would prohibit me from watching my own ignominy. So yeah. I was just there visiting some friends. It was wonderful. That's all.
Did your control of Asia throughout most of Reality Game Masters become the inspiration for this trip?
Well, Kamchatka was really, I feel like, the turning point of the whole game when I kicked Eric Stein out of Kamchatka. Sadly, I was not able to visit Kamchatka myself while I was over there. So if I had done that, perhaps maybe there'd be a more direct comparison.
Okay. So yeah. As the one-time former emperor of Asia, you were able to go and visit your homeland.
That's right. Yeah, it was good. they all recognized me and, you know, saluted accordingly.
Yes. Were there statues of you?
It's hard to tell who they were of. They could have been of me. You know, they were like all these like rippling men with like flowing drapery and that sort of like great communist or socialist realist style. So, you know, I feel like I had drapery as well. You know, I'll toss some drapes around me.
Did you visit Eliza also while you were there?
No, I sadly didn't. So she was traveling in Vietnam when I was there. I did get to hang out with her sister. So that was great.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, Steven Fishback, all the best to you. What are you doing this summer? Anything good?
No, just, you know. Chilling? Chilling. You know, it's Williamsburg is hopping. You know, lots of cool places to go, restaurants.
All right. Well, Steven Fishback, it is the Survivor offseason, but we're getting ready to gearing up for the big Survivor season in the fall. Can't wait to get back at it.
I know. Blood versus water. Just can't wait to start making bad pontifications, just coming up wrong. So I look forward to it.
All right, Steven, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for doing this.
All right, bye. It was fun.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Steven Fishback, my partner in crime on Survivor Know-It-Alls after his elimination from Reality Game Masters. Okay, so let's switch gears up just a little bit and let's go ahead and let's bring in the winner of Survivor South Pacific, but the second runner-up on Reality Game Masters. I can see she's on the line. Sophie G. Clark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sophie, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm slowly getting over my reality game master's loss.
Licking your wounds.
Licking my wounds. I think I'm in better spirits. I've had some time, you know, to think about it. But, you know, it still hurts.
Who's handling the loss better, you or Stephen Fishback?
I think probably he is. I imagine he's more used to losing than I am, you know? So he probably, like, has a method to this madness. And I don't know, that gives me an idea. I should probably email him and ask him for his tips.
Yes. Well, Sophie, you were so much fun on Reality Game Masters, a really great job. Now, most of what was going on during the game was there was this big feud happening, mostly between you and Steven, and mostly against Eric Stein from Big Brother. Why all of the animosity between the survivors and the Big Brother players?
Well, so I had never met any of the Big Brother players except Eric Stein. And Eric Stein had always, you know, been friendly with me. But I think that there's just this feeling going in of the Eric Stein had been like prepping for years for this. I don't know. Maybe it's because there was a bit of an unknown factor with him. I'd never seen his season. I'd always heard rumors about how great Eric Stein was. Everyone seems to like him. I just felt like, I don't know. I just felt like out of everybody, he was the most dangerous. And looking back now, I think I was probably mistaken. I think Stephen had a part in it too. Stephen knows Eric Stein better than I do. And I think Stephen was more out to get him than I was, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the evidence supports that Eric Stein had a mastermind plan coming into Reality Game Masters.
No, I think actually, I think maybe what was dangerous about him was that I'd never met Ian or the other guy. And I think because Eric Stein was an acquaintance, like, that almost made him more dangerous than a stranger. Like, friends are good, strangers are good, but, like, somebody you kind of know, I almost think that's more worrisome.
Do you think that holds true for all-star seasons of Survivors, where it's, like, the people that you know are good are fine, and the people you don't know are fine, but the people you kind of know in real life are the tricky ones?
I think, yeah, that must hold true, right? Yeah, for sure. I mean, even you saw that last season, the end of it was, you know, Cochran and Dawn, who obviously know each other really, really well. And yet Cochran got rid of, like, Francesca and, you know, Andrea, some of these acquaintances he had, while he instead stayed firm with, like, Sherry, who was a bit of an unknown factor. So, yeah, I think there is something to be said about the weakness of, like, loose bonds.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, in the game, once you guys got to the three survivor players left in the game, first off, Matt Hoffman comes to you and he offers, hey, let's me and you try to take out everybody. I know we've talked about this in the actual show, but now that we're a couple of more weeks removed from that, do you feel like that was what you should have done, gone with Matt Hoffman?
Yeah, I think... I think I was like playing with my emotions much more than I do ever, or like much more than I even like do in daily life. You know, I really strongly wanted Stephen Cochran and I to the end, and I'd also played Risk enough to know that it really was a crapshoot at the end. So I didn't see the point really in like backstabbing one of my friends for something that was always going to be an unknown result. That said, I think I made the right move in trying. I don't know if it was clear on TV, but I was, you know, trying to go in this role of getting one person out, getting cars, getting the next person out. I think that was the right move, but I really should have reassessed when Matt came to me. And I should have probably backstabbed Stephen or Cochran, because I think watching the show, I think that both of them would have done that to me as well. And so, you know, it's good. It's a lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Now, were you surprised how quickly Cochran then went after you? I think it was the next turn after you got Matt out.
I wasn't that surprised. I made a lot of mistakes in Reality Game Masters. And I think one of them was I was much too secure in my alliance with Steven. And I didn't cultivate my relationship with Cochran as much as I could have. Because I think Cochran and I actually have a tighter friendship than Steven and Cochran. And I let Cochran allowed his number one to be Steven and not me. And so I didn't have like a firm grasp on all the alliances. And I think that if I had spent more time cultivating Cochrane the way that I think I can, I think that we could have been a really strong force, and I think he wouldn't have gone after me. But it was really my own fault. I don't blame Cochrane for going after me.
Were you surprised how hard that Steven was working Cochrane? You know, he brings him into the war room, and he's like, hey, we're gonna bro down. Then you're in the he kept using that phrase, bro down. Were you surprised that Steven seemed to have had a final two deal with Cochrane from, you know, somewhere in the middle of the game?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, we never really got to see how it played out. I think I knew that, you know, Steven was that day I knew that I wasn't in the right mind, really, to be cultivating a lot of people. So I knew that Steven was keeping Cochrane with us, because I knew that I wasn't doing anything good for that relationship. So I knew that Steven was doing the work of keeping Cochrane on our side. And so I knew he must have had some kind of an alliance. I'm curious to know, had things come down to the three of us on a more even keel, how things would have shaken up. But that's it. Like, the whole bro down thing is kind of ridiculous. Like, it's one thing for like Malcolm or like one of the amigos to say to Cochrane, like, let's bro down. But it's kind of ridiculous when you have like one nerd saying to another nerd, like, hey, like, let's bro down over this like board game. I just can't quite see how that would have been appealing to Cochrane. Like, what would happen when Cochrane and Steven bro down? I mean, do they? It just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they were ironically broing down.
Maybe they were. Something cooked up on like the front of the school bus, I'm sure.
Now, you said on Twitter, I think, that your family members were more upset with your gameplay on Reality Game Masters than on Survivor. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. Very accurate. I mean, I was getting phone calls weekly from every member of my family, including my extended family, Canada's and cousins. And cousins in Canada and uncles and aunts in England, they were mortified. But my family is like very much of a gaming family. Like I grew up playing games nightly, including Risk. And so I think it was just so much more accessible to them. And I would dread to think, had all of my family played Survivor, like how I would have been abused. I feel like I can really relate to Brandon now.
Yeah, right. Because that is exactly what you would think he would go through. So if you play Reality Game Masters again, do you think that there is a chance that you could just lash out? And if it looks like you're going to go out of the game early, just like create some big spectacle just to not let anybody in your family down?
I think that's exactly what I would do. And I've done that in the past. I mean, my family, I think they wouldn't be surprised. I have a history of, you know, toppling over board games, and I have practice in it. And I am worried a bit for Reality Game Masters too, about, you know, what I'm going to do to my image. It's hard. It's hard.
Now, we haven't even talked about what we would do in a Reality Game Masters 2. Do you have any suggestions for what the game should be in Reality Game Masters 2?
I haven't actually thought about it that hard. My sister has said to me that they didn't understand why we weren't playing Capture the Flag. And I feel like that could be fun, but it would require many more people and a much bigger production.
Yeah.
But no, I'll think about some good ideas.
No,
I'll think about it during our interview. I'll come up with something by the end.
All right. Now, are you worried about Cochrane here a little bit, that maybe he might have a big head now? I mean, he wins the Survivor. He wins Reality Game Masters. Is he even anything like the guy that you once knew in Survivor South Pacific still? Is he keeping it real?
You know, I'm not sure he is. I think I listened actually to his interview with you. And I think if you just kind of have it playing when you're on the treadmill or something, you might think, wow, this is somebody who's really humble. Like, he sounds so pleased and excited about, you know, winning Reality Game Masters. Because his interview with you, he was, you know, he was really recognizing what a big deal this was. But, you know, I don't listen to the show when I'm on the treadmill. I listen, you know, I sit on my couch and I play it and I kind of meditate. And I actually noticed that there might have been some sarcasm in his voice. I don't think he was being real with us. I am very concerned about, you know, how seriously Cochrane takes this kind of thing.
Okay.
Now he's in LA now. You probably know more than I do. Who knows what he's up to?
Now, do you have any advice for Cochran now that he has tasted victory? What it's how he should proceed, carry himself as a winner?
Oh, gosh. I mean, he's now much more of a winner than I am, right? I like this idea of somebody who's beat somebody else has then beat everyone. I don't know if that made any sense. But like, well, actually, Cochran and I are in a bit of a draw because I've beaten him and he's beaten me. But no, I mean, he's now, I mean, he's won tremendously, right? He's graduated Harvard Law. He's won Reality Game Masters. He has this jaw with, what is his name? J.B. Smooth or whatever from Curb Your Enthusiasm, who is like my favorite person of all time, Mr.
Wow.
Black.
Yeah, Leon Black. Yeah, he is one of these supporting. He's like the wacky neighbor on the sitcom that Cochran is writing for.
Right, right. I don't even feel on his level, honestly. but he's very kind about the whole thing.
Yeah, I believe he's also going to be attending Coach's wedding this summer. Will you be attending Coach's wedding?
I know. I really wish I was. Actually, I can see the invitation from where I'm sitting right here. Unfortunately, I'm starting my rotations in the hospital, and I have to be in the hospital that day.
Okay.
Well, so, bummed.
Very, yes. Very.
Do you know if he has a part in the wedding, though? I really hope he does. I was hoping he was ring bearer or something.
Like, well, that would be funny. Yeah, I kind of think, I think he might be in the wedding party. I really don't know.
Are you going?
That I did receive an invitation, but I will not be going. It's a little, it's a long commute to Reno.
Exactly. And it's 4th of July, too.
4th of July. Also, Nicole doesn't need to be outside in Reno during this time of year. So we'll hold off on that. So you have anything coming up for the summer, Sophie?
No, I'm just starting. I'm doing rotations on neurology and psychiatry this summer, which I think is it's good. It's good. I think the Survivor probably prepped me well for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would think so. Did you ever get a chance to play Diplomacy with Stephen Fishback?
We did. We did play Diplomacy. I don't think it's right for Reality Game Masters for a lot of reasons. It wouldn't translate as well to camera. The other reason is, you know, what we played Reality Game Masters for like 8 hours or 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we played Diplomacy, I think, for 8 hours, and we started, and this, you know, did not include any breaks, and we started with 8 people or something, and after 8 hours, there were still 8 people left in the game. so, no. Yeah, I played. I'm not sure if I'll be playing again.
Okay, so you didn't care for it.
It was okay. It was okay. I would give it a second go.
I think the key is for a Reality Game Masters game, it needs to be at least like somewhat ubiquitous in that enough people know what it is that, you know, you don't have to spend like the first, you know, a couple of episodes of explaining how the game is going to work.
Right. Well, the other thing actually about Diplomacy, the game we played, is it made me think more about the All-Stars seasons of Survivor, because the Diplomacy game we played, I played with people who all knew each other. Like, there was a husband and wife couple, and then there's this woman who worked with a couple of the people, and Steven and I knew each other. Like, there were a lot of, pairs, and some people knew each other, some people didn't. And in a way, it felt like this All-Star season of Survivor, where
the blood versus water.
Well, there were these pre-alliances, so it wasn't as fun making these alliances in this game as it was in Survivor, because every time you went off to talk to somebody, you know, they had preconceived notions about you. I think what I liked about Survivor with all these strangers is that you could kind of start as a blank slate, and I just felt like my abilities to make alliances and to trick people when they already knew things about me were was so bad at it. Because I think I rely a lot on that kind of thing of people underestimating me, and they didn't. So that was kind of unfortunate. So I would really like to play Diplomacy again with strangers. And I felt the same about Risk. I think actually in Reality Game Masters, it would have been more fun playing with all Big Brother people I didn't know, or going in and not knowing the cast. I think there's something that really tarnishes the game about playing with people you know.
Okay, well, maybe we can come up with some way to erase people's memory, or maybe if we hit everybody over the head right before the game starts, some sort of like selective amnesia, maybe that could be an interesting way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll think about it. Yeah.
We'll think about it. Okay, Sophie, setting the stage for Survivor Blood versus Water on June 30th.
I'm so excited for this.
Are you excited?
I am. I like it. I'm much more excited for this than I was for like the first season of what was called Redemption Island. I think this is a good twist.
Okay, how about this? Who would you go back with in a blood versus water season?
I'd probably go back with my dad. Both my sisters, I don't think, could really handle it. Well, I don't know if anybody in my family would really enjoy it. Probably me and my dad.
Okay.
They'd all be pretty terrible, though. I think that I'd have to go back knowing that the strategy would be to throw my family member under the bus, like to use them as my shield. It wouldn't be a pairing.
You would vote out your family member on Survivor Blood versus Water?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be as simple as that, right? It would be, you know, you'd use them for something as a trade-in. You would join
lamb.
A triplet instead, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, Sophie, thank you so much for doing this exit interview. Great job in Reality Game Masters again, and have a good summer.
Thank you. You too.
All right, and are you still follow at Sophie G. Clark on Twitter?
That's right. The G is still there.
The G is still there. All right. So, Sophie, take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Sophie G. Clark, Sophie and Steven together again in one podcast. What else could you ask for in a Reality Game Masters exit interview? All right, so that's going to do it for our coverage of the Reality Game Masters for now. We will be back with more Big Brother. Big Brother kicking off into high gear. We got Big Brother podcast coming every Sunday and Wednesday night on robhasawebsite.com. So plenty more to come. Thank you so much to Steven and Sophie. And all the best to you guys. Enjoy your week, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.